This program is intended for print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to A Positive Outlook, an audio journal production highlighting optimistic news stories. Material is selected with the interests of its audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Ava Sardina, and I am your volunteer reader. The first two articles are from sunnyskyz.com. Tiny bear cub rescued from highway ditch by New Jersey troopers. A tiny bear cub found alone on the side of a busy highway now has a second chance, thanks to a group of quick-thinking state troopers who turned an unusual call into a heartwarming rescue. On the afternoon of April 1st, troopers from the New Jersey State Police Troop B Perryville Station were dispatched to an unexpected scene along Interstate 78 in Union Township. The report was simple but concerning. A lone bear cub was spotted sitting in a roadside ditch. When they arrived, they found exactly that. A small, vulnerable cub with no sign of its mother nearby. Recognizing the danger, not just to the cub, but also from the surrounding traffic, the troopers acted quickly. They carefully secured the young bear and transported him safely back to their station, ensuring that he was out of harm's way. Today, the New Jersey State Police released body cam footage of the rescue. The cub's been placed in the hands of wildlife professionals at the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, where he'll receive the proper care and attention that he needs. Thanks to the trooper's swift and compassionate response, what could have been a tragic situation became a story of protection and hope. It's a reminder that sometimes the most unexpected calls can lead to the most meaningful moments, and that a little kindness can go a long way, even for the smallest and freest members of the community. She wouldn't budge. After a scare, this loyal farm dog stood guard in the snow all night. While snow piled high and the wind howled across a farm in Charlotte, Maine, one devoted guardian refused to leave her post, proving that sometimes the quietest acts of loyalty are the most powerful. On a cold winter day, a family shared a photo that perfectly captured the heart of what it means to trust a good dog. Their Turkmen Alibi, a powerful livestock guardian breed known for its instincts and independence, sensed that something wasn't right. Something came through the farm earlier that day that unsettled the animals. Nothing lost, but she knew. And when she knows, that's it, her owner shared. By nightfall, she made her decision. Without being told, she positioned herself directly in front of the barn and settled in. Snow began to gather around her. The wind picked up. Temperatures dropped. Still, she didn't move. Her family tried everything. We called, begged, brought treats, and tried to move her along. She wouldn't budge. Her owner shared, "She's not usually very stubborn. She is, however, very sure of herself. She knows whenever she should patrol, wait it out, or come in. She stayed out there, quiet and watchful, like she was holding the whole place together. You can raise animals, build fences, and do everything right, but dogs like this make all the difference in the world. We finally went in and left her to it. She came in when she decided that whatever it wasn't coming back. It was a simple moment, but one that left a lasting impact. I've never seen that kind of devotion and didn't feel a little humbled by it. A protector, a guardian, a quiet hero in the snow." And maybe that's what makes stories like this resonate so deeply. It's not just about one dog standing watch on a winter night. It's about the kind of loyalty that you can't teach, the kind of instinct that you can't fake, and the kind of devotion that asks for nothing in return. The rest of the articles are from goodnewsnetwork.org. When a 5-year-old missed his graduation, plane passengers gave a special mid-air ceremony. By Andy Corboy. Frontier Airlines recently had a special guest on their flight from Florida to Puerto Rico, 5-year-old Javier Rivas, who was preparing to graduate from kindergarten. But because the graduation at his school was taking place while young Javier was 35,000 feet above sea level, Frontier attendants stepped in to give him a special ceremony. Calling his name from the intercom, they invited all the passengers to offer congratulations as Javier walked down the aisle in a red cap and gown. He's missing his graduation, his kindergarten graduation today, and because he chose to fly Frontier instead, we're giving him his graduation ceremony on this flight, the attendant said. Passengers were recording the special moment and many offered high fives to the little guy, whose special day included a visit to the cockpit to meet the pilots and some small presents as well. He was just beyond excited, like his face lit up, Javier's mom, Janeri Rivas, told Good Morning America. He was super-duper excited, getting high fives from people and getting cheered on. Heroic dog Rocky alerts Indian village of oncoming landslide, saving dozens. By Andy Corboy. Lights were out in the mountain village of Siathi, northern India, but one resident clearly wasn't interested in going to sleep. Well past midnight on June 26th, Rocky the dog sat on the ground floor of a home in Himachal Pradesh state, barking and howling loudly. June being monsoon season in India, rain was teeming down, but Rocky's owner Lalit Kumar could hear the dog through his sleep and the weather. I was woken by my dog's strange barking, as if he was trying to warn me, Lalit said. When I reached him, I saw a huge crack in the wall and water pouring in. An awful thing to find so late at night, but when Lalit went downstairs to wake the rest of his family, that's when he saw it. A wall of onrushing water and earth coming down the mountain towards the town. Grabbing the dog and his family, he ran along the streets waking neighbors until 22 families had assembled and fled to high ground. Moments later, the landslide arrived and wrecked 12 out of 17 homes in the village in a wave of mud and debris. 67 people lived there, each and every one owing their lives to Rocky the dog, whom Kumar got from his brother just 3 months before. Boss gifts employees $240 million in bonuses after selling family company. By Andy Corboy. From Louisiana comes the story of a corporate dream fulfilled as a man succeeding his father as CEO of the family business, invested in innovation which paid off, and guided the business through a big sale. But there was something else that Graham Walker had in his mind to achieve when he prepared to hand over the reins of Fiberbond, the rewarding of his people. Enclosed in the sale agreement was a clause that 15% of the sale price should be paid out over 5 years as bonuses to his 540 employees, amounting to $240 million. Each employee will receive $443,000, according to the Wall Street Journal. I hope I'm 80 years old and get an email about how it's impacted someone, Mr. Walker said. Fiberbond was founded by Graham's father, Claude, in 1982. It's gone through boom times and the bust times, remaining solvent through a devastating fire and the dot-com bubble. In the mid-2000s, Graham and his brother took charge of the company, and in 2020 began to invest in the materials and know-how to build data centers. It was a choice that gave the company an early mover advantage, and today, the company website states that it maintains more than 51,000 modules deployed to projects across the country, making Fiberbond the nation's leading manufacturer of complex electrical modules used in the data centers. Following the sale of the company at $1.7 billion to Eaton, a smart power company and client of Fiberbond since 2015, Graham penned an emotional letter. "Last week, we gathered together and recognized every Fiberbond employee," he wrote. "We shared the same humbling question, how did we build this? 43 years of memories, failures, successes, and opportunities came forth as tears, hugs, and profound joy. Our family fulfilled a commitment that we'd all win together, and over 2 days, we shared the details of that commitment." Company employees told the journal that news of the bonuses were met with shock and emotion, with people saying that they'd use the money to pay off student loans, finance retirement, and go on vacation. "It was surreal. It was like telling people they won the lottery. There was absolute shock," said Hector Moreno, a Fiberbond executive who distributed the bonuses, according to the journal. Students write adorable letters on behalf of shelter animals to boost adoptions, and it worked. By Andy Corboy. The persuasive words of an 8-year-old written in crayon cracked open the hearts of potential dog adopters to empty the kennel crates of a local shelter. Their handwritten, personalized notes resulted in skyrocketing adoption rates for the pooches least likely to get adopted in the Virginia capital. No human could resist a plea like, "If you do adopt me, I hope I'll brighten up your Sundays like the sun. You'll be my Sunday special, and I hope I'll be yours." Kenzie Jones, a second-grade teacher at St. Michael's Episcopal Church in Richmond, is also a volunteer at Richmond Animal Care and Control. She needed to come up with an idea for a writing assignment, and had the idea to try and boost adoption rates by giving the dogs their own advocacy voice. "The idea just came to me to connect persuasive writing with these adoptable pets that need a forever home," Jones told the Washington Post, adding that it was a way that I could make their writing real for the students and actually make an impact on the world and our Richmond community. She pitched the idea to the shelter's manager, Christy Peters, who thought it was wonderful. "This particular shelter sees a high adoption rate of about 3 weeks. Animals with medical problems can take much longer and face being euthanized if the problem's serious enough." According to Jones, the kids nearly cheered at the news that their new assignment would be focused on helping 23 dogs and one cat get adopted. "Hi, my name's Cody. I'd love to be adopted," one student wrote. "I'd like a loving, caring family with a big fenced-in yard. Please be my owner." This kind of representation, pinned in colorful drawings and letters to the animals' crates, was a huge success, and 21 of the 24 hard-to-adopt animals found new homes before long. "All dogs deserve a loving home," a St. Michael's second grader Danielle Petrusk told the Post. "I'm so very happy to be able to help neglected animals find great forever families." ER physician assistant gets a heartwarming gift that turns his night around. In the midst of a busy night shift in the ER, a physician assistant, PA, receives a small but memorable gift from a grateful patient's husband. After watching the PA and the medical staff care for his wife, the 80-year-old man reached into his pocket and handed over a special coin with a humorous message. The coin, labeled "To It" on one side, revealed an amusing message on the other. The message read, "This is a round to it. Guard it with your life. It could help you be more efficient. For years you've heard, I'll do it as soon as I get around to it. Now that you have your own, you can accomplish all those things that you put aside until you got this round to it." The PA shared that this small token completely turned around his challenging shift. The man, described as a sweet old man, expressed his gratitude to the staff, thanking them for their compassionate care. Former inmate who received contraband book while in solitary has now built hundreds of prison libraries. By Nathan Frederick. Reginald Betts was only 17 years old and imprisoned in solitary confinement when a lifeline arrived that would change everything. Someone delivered a book. Imagine yourself as a teenager, 17 years old, in solitary confinement, and you're just calling out, "Hey, someone send me a book." Betts, who's now 45, told the Washington Post, "Someone sent me Dudley Randall's The Black Poets, and it radically changed my life." Betts entered the prison system after he carjacked an automobile in Fairfax County, Virginia, while a man was sleeping inside. He was tried as an adult and spent almost a decade in prison, with most of his sentence in solitary confinement. But one day, fellow prisoners used a rudimentary pulley system rigged up with torn sheets and a pillowcase to deliver the poetry book. The metamorphosis began rapidly. He started reading every chance he got. He began writing, too, and before long, he realized that education could provide an escape route. When he was released from prison, he went full speed ahead into his studies, earning a bachelor's degree and then a law degree from Yale. He wrote poetry and advocated for prison reform. Eventually, he founded Freedom Reads, a nonprofit that provides libraries and books to prisoners all across the country, repaying exponentially the good deed he received in solitary confinement. "Prisons are the loneliest places on earth," says the Freedom Reads website. "This is a fact that our founder and CEO, Reginald Dwayne Betts, knows all too well." Since its inception in 2020, Freedom Reads has installed more than 550 libraries with more than 275,000 books and counting. For Betts, delivering books in prison represented a community of people working together to enrich their environments against the odds by transforming a place of desolation into one in which a radical idea would have a chance to blossom. Freedom begins with a book. One inmate in Maine named Chief Bear said, "It was a great surprise upon returning from work for the day and seeing all those books and new shelves that they were on. It was kind of like seeing children on Christmas morning after all the presents were opened. I saw a couple people out of their cells who you never see unless it's mealtime." The saying of freedom begins with a book is spot on. The nonprofit is funded by donations and grants from the likes of the MacArthur Foundation and the Mellon Foundation. Just recently, that money helped open 35 libraries in both men's and women's facilities across Missouri. Each library has about 500 books in a bookcase designed to promote a community atmosphere and thoughtful conversation. It's quite a different aesthetic than the pillowcase with the book inside that made its way down the tired sheet line towards Bet's cell when he was in solitary confinement. But once the prisoners crack the covers open, the end result is the same. Liberation lies within the pages. Dog obsessively sniffing owner's breath detected lung cancer. Now an e-nose is being trained to save more lives. By Good News Network. Colleen Ferguson says that her German Shepherd saved her life by detecting cancer in its earliest stages and causing her to suspect that something might be wrong when the dog kept obsessively smelling her breath. For weeks, 2-year-old Inca would sniff at her mouth and frown. The 60-year-old got her teeth checked, and doctors did tests related to her gluten intolerance, but they all came back negative. Inca wouldn't quit the habit, so the woman from Kent, England, decided to schedule a full body scan, which revealed a golf ball-sized tumor in her left lung. It was stage 1 cancer. "She just had this focused intent on my mouth," the former science teacher said. "She'd give me such a look and walk away. In no way did I expect lung cancer. It was such a shock because I'm a non-smoker and I had absolutely no symptoms at all apart from being tired." After a surgery to remove the tumor, Colleen didn't need any further treatment or radiation, and she's now making the most of her retirement years as a creative writer and published author. "The surgeon told me, 'We never catch it at stage 1. Your dog saved your life.' I was just so lucky. To catch it that early was just remarkable. People need to listen to their dogs." Researchers in the UK have evidence that's proving that dogs can indeed detect cancer with their superior sense of smell. The nonprofit Medical Detection Dogs began a groundbreaking study in 2024 to teach 7 pooches, Labradors, Cocker Spaniels, and a retriever how to detect tumors just by smelling urine in pots. "Dogs have shown us time and time again that diseases have an odor," Claire Guest, the CEO and chief scientific officer at Medical Detection Dogs, told The Times. "We're not sure if that's the odor of the tumor itself or the body's response to the tumor." Clinical trials have proven that dogs can reliably detect diseases including prostate cancer, bladder cancer, COVID-19, and even Parkinson's, and dogs can be trained to do so. Scientists are now developing an e-nose trained by artificial intelligence to replicate the dog's responses to cancer samples. In collaboration with Medical Detection Dogs, a quantum physicist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Dr. Andreas Merschen, has created the mechanical e-nose that uses chemical sensors to make it capable of smelling urine samples and detecting the volatile organic compounds, which are tiny odor molecules in the air. The e-nose is now being tested on 500 urine samples from patients at the Milton Keynes University Hospital near London, including some with prostate cancer and healthy controls, to see if it can accurately detect cancer. Working with a chemistry team at the University of Texas at El Paso, Dr. Merschen hopes that it'll be approved as a clinical tool in hospitals within 2 years. "This is a major milestone," said Merschen. "We've worked to emulate the dog's abilities and train machines in a similar way, rewarding them for correct identifications. And such e-nose capabilities could ultimately be implemented into our smartphones. Our devices already have eyes and ears, and now technology with olfactory intelligence is the next frontier, informing a generation of non-invasive diagnostic tools for better health. It's like giving our devices a new sense, a nose. When I trained our first cancer detection dog over 15 years ago, the goal was always to inform scalable technology, not to have a dog in every hospital," said Ms. Guest. "Seeing that vision start to come to life with the e-nose is an incredibly proud moment." Generous Boss gives $12.7 million to his staff, saying thank you as he retires. By Good News Network. When a person retires after many years of service, they traditionally receive a card full of farewell wishes from their colleagues and often a thoughtful gift, a framed photo or a large bouquet of flowers, perhaps. That tradition's been turned on its head at one UK company. The boss is retiring, and he's giving £10 million, $12.7 million, to his employees as a goodbye. David Stevens is the chief executive of Admiral, the successful Wales-based motor insurance company that's been listed on the London Stock Exchange since 2004. He co-founded the business with his wife Heather in 1991. Starting with a team of just 57, they now have 7,500 staff in the south of Wales and 3,000 overseas in the US, Spain, Italy, France, India, and Canada. Full-time workers will get £1,000, $1,270, and part-time staff will receive £500, $635. The 58-year-old CEO explained to the BBC, "Saying thank you to all Admiral staff in this way is the right thing to do. We're proud and fortunate to have worked with such a special group of people." Stevens isn't the only business person to do good recently. After 4 decades of making secret donations, the Irish-American duty-free shopping billionaire Chuck Feeney has managed to give away his entire fortune at the age of 89. You've been listening to A Positive Outlook. This program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This is Ava Sardina. I'll be with you again soon. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
What's your vision?
My vision's 20/200.
Light perception in the right eye and zero vision in the left eye.
20/200 at best on my left eye, and on my right eye, I cannot see.
No, I mean, what's your vision?
My goal is to become a journalist.
To be able to work.
Financial independence.
My vision is employment opportunities for all, including people with disabilities.
My vision is for all of my students to dream big.
That he become fully independent.
For my patients to live their best lives.
What's your vision?
What's your vision?
What is your vision?
At the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, our vision is clear. We believe that all people who are blind or visually impaired should have the opportunity to work and thrive. To learn how we can help you meet your employment or workforce goals, call 800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/mcb.
Are you or a loved one experiencing vision loss? Unable to read your daily newspapers? Feeling isolated because of blindness? If the answer is yes, Audio Journal can help. Live broadcasts of newspapers and other local publications enable blind, visually impaired, and print-disabled residents of Worcester County to connect with their communities. Newspaper readings, informative programming, education, and entertainment return you to the printed word your vision loss has denied you. For information about Audio Journal's free service, call 508-797-1117. Again, the number is 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org or go to our website at www.audiojournal.org. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.